Check your weapons at the door. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that draws a line in the sand. His godfather in Oklahoma fixed the knees of Gale Sayers, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, inspired by and brought to you by the book Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. And boy, are we making some progress putting this book out there for your consumption. It has been a few weeks, and I'm frankly a little later than I like to be in releasing the new edition of a book each year, but we now have fully stocked the Amazon shelves with all types of the Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. We have the workhorse of the whole collection, the paperback version at $9 a piece. We have the Audible book, which will just put that knowledge of Medicare right into your brain without you having to do any kind of work to bring it in and to digest it. And that is priced, I don't know, I should look again, but I think it's priced somewhere around $6 or thereabouts. I don't have anything to do with the pricing. We have the Kindle version, which is instantly available to you at the very inexpensive price of $4.80, I believe. If you pay that money, you will get that Kindle edition delivered to your reader pronto. And of course, we have the flagship of the whole effort. We have the hardcover book at a very reasonable price of $24. And within each of these volumes, you're going to find Medicare information presented in such a way that you will not have any trouble understanding 90% of the Medicare process, 100% of what you have to do to encounter Medicare and come out smelling like a rose. And you will also find my contact information fairly close to the front of the book. You will be able to contact me and say, hey, read the book. I'm ready to move. Medicare time is approaching for me, and I will then be able to help guide you across that Medicare threshold and into the land of bliss that you will find on the other side of the Medicare portal. So buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024, contact me for a little guidance and assistance and to help get your Medicare supplement and your drug plan in place. And I will guarantee you that you will be set for years, if not forever. So join us in Medicare bliss and happiness by purchasing a copy of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. And also join us in the land of bliss and milk and honey in the podcast arena, a Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, corralled by, shepherded by the boss man of the whole operation, I'm watching landscapers across the street do oddball things. Randy Carson is the man I wanted to introduce, and I got distracted. So, Randy Carson, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Doug. I always enjoy being here. When you introduced me using that type of technique, you know what it reminded me of?
I do not.
Wagon Train. You remember Wagon Train?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
What was the head guy on Wagon Train?
Gil Favor.
Yes, yes.
That was his character's name. And of course, yeah. The cook. Well, the cook's name was Snuffy or something like that. Muffy.
Yeah. That is going way too far back.
Sorry. Maybe you didn't watch Wagon Train as carefully as I did.
Well, that could be. Bottom line is way back in the day. You had to be really close to RTV to see Wagon Train because we had a little black and white television about the size of a postage stamp.
So oh boy.
Maybe I didn't notice, exactly what was going on.
Well, we had a bigger black and white TV. It was probably about a 25 inch, maybe 23 inch square. It had a peculiar thing that nobody could ever fix. We had a parade of TV repairmen come through the house And I always loved it when the TV repairmen would show up because they had a big, giant fishing tackle box full of tubes.
Yeah, and oh, I love that.
Absolutely. And the thing is, this TV, we'd be sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden it would start to buzz. It had a buzz that some part inside the TV was loose or something, and it would start this vibration that would just be a buzz. And the only way we found that was reliable to fix it was to teach the youngest kid in the family. Now, I'm the oldest of five kids. We would teach the youngest kid in the family. I'm surprised we didn't draw an X on the spot on the side of the TV to go over there and smack it as hard as they could.
Yeah.
And the buzz would stop for like maybe 20 minutes or so.
Oh, so it wasn't like a once in the evening thing. It was like,
no,
little Billy, no, you can't watch television. Just go stand by that X on the TV.
Yeah, and smack it. And then when we tell you, smack it again. And they were pretty good for changing the channels, too, before we had remote control.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the original remote control.
Absolutely. Get over there and turn it to Channel 5. The fact that they didn't know what the numbers meant.
Yeah. One more click, little Billy.
Oh, you went too far. Turn it back two clicks.
So speaking of old schooly televisions, do you remember a brand by the name of Setchel Carlson?
No.
Our TV repairman named Charlie.
Uh-huh.
Every TV repairman in the Midwest is named Charlie, I think. But anyway, he sold us this television like this was the latest and greatest, newest and biggest and baddest. It wasn't integrated circuits, but all of the circuits were enclosed in some sort of, you know, like not plexiglass, but, you know, some sort of solid plastic sort of crap. And he said, man, this thing will last forever. Yeah, up until the 453 tubes in this thing burn out.
Yeah, there you go.
And then Charlie would have to, you know, with his big tackle box. And you remember how the thing opened up in the top, like this?
Sure.
Yeah, so there was 4 million tubes in there, some of them in boxes, not many.
Yep.
And he knew where every freaking thing in that tube.
I know. These guys would sit down on a little stool or something next to the big open box, and they'd kind of figure out which tube they needed, and they just snatch it right out of there. And as though they could do it by braille almost.
Oh yeah.
But as I got older, I realized that was kind of ridiculous that we had to call a TV repairman, wait for him to be able to show up to fix the TV. I could not live without TV that long. So when I inherited one of those televisions and a tube went out, I took the tubes down to the tube testing machine.
Oh yeah, where were those things at? I remember them, but
we had a drugstore in town. And you'd stand in front of this machine, and it had a million sockets in it for each type of tube. And I didn't, of course, know which tube inside the television did what. So to find the bad tube, I had to take them all out. So I made my own schematic. You know, tube number so-and-so goes in the upper. And then I would take all the tubes to the machine in town and sit there and one by one, plug them in, follow the instructions on the machine, turn the knob to so-and-so, you know, millivolts or something. And I look like quite the geek. I'm surprised I didn't pursue that lifestyle more vigorously.
So this ended up being something similar to finding out the out Christmas tree bulb.
Yes, you'd have to try every goddamn bulb in the whole house before you find the one that crapped out on you and wrecked the whole string.
So here's my plan. You know, back in the day when all Christmas tree lights were like that, you know, they were run in series as opposed to parallel. When one of those bulbs went out and we, you know, like a string of like twinkle lights for like 4 million and 12 bulbs on it.
Sure.
Hey, Margaret. We're not going through all 400 bulbs. I just go buy another string and throw it on there.
You have to.
You drive
yourself insane. We never had any that were wired in series like that. Ours were all the bigger bulbs with screw-in bases.
Yeah.
And ours were always wired in parallel, so we could see which bulb was out and change them.
But I always liked the bubble lights.
Okay. We had, I inherited a couple of those when I got Mary. You know, her family said, here, take Mary and take her bubble lights. And so you'd have to find the socket that was in the right position on a branch. So it would stand up straight.
Yeah. So that was your dowry.
Apparently so. I never got much else. So I guess that's
Mary and the bubble lights. I would have taken that deal.
Well, it worked out okay, it turns out, but you never know. I was always expecting it to be, you know, like a 30-day returns, no questions asked. But
boy. Oh dear, you crack me up.
I don't crack her up. She's not listening to this right now. So, I was going to talk about the Big Texan Steak Ranch, because I'm wearing a shirt that I got there, and
I guess see it's that.
It's kind of subtle. It doesn't shout, you know, what it is, but I did have a whole spiel I wanted to talk about the Big Texan Steak Ranch in Amarillo, but I think we burned up too much time goofing around today, so we probably
ought to... let's do it the next time.
All right, let's do that. I'll wear it again.
I'll remind you, Steak Ranch. It'll be like a subliminal message.
Send it
steak
to me.
Steak Ranch. Steak Ranch. Oh.
Send it to me through the tubes in my head.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to kick it into gear here. And,
all right, I'm going to mute myself out, and I'm going to wait until the appropriate time for my next part.
I will see you on the other end. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, here's the situation. I think we have one item and one item only that's probably going to take up this episode, but it's a biggie. If you consider that one of my jobs in life is to help people understand Medicare and avoid mistakes, then you will understand that part of that job is warning people away from coverage that is likely to disappoint them, especially if they go with that coverage and eventually get disappointed and find that they have no recourse, that they have their health conditions are such that they're prevented from going to the type of coverage that is unlikely to disappoint them because their medical condition has deteriorated or they've acquired some sort of pre-existing health problem, and they cannot change. So I encourage people to go to Medicare supplement from day one. When you're first eligible for Medicare, when instead of going to a Medicare Advantage plan, go to Medicare supplement. In other words, get original Medicare parts A and B, and then get a Medicare supplement and keep that for the rest of your life. Because frankly, if you were to go to a Medicare Advantage, you are likely to be disappointed at some point in your course of treatment. 50% of Medicare Advantage plan holders switch plans within 5 years. And this means they switch plans because their plan is not doing the job for them, and they're hoping to find something better. Well, here's a little article about Medicare Advantage chaos, because as time goes by, the problems with Medicare Advantage and the Medicare Advantage insurance companies that issue the coverage, they are getting to be more and more problematic. Medicare Advantage chaos is making life more difficult for hospitals, insurers, and seniors. Now, everybody that knows this podcast knows that I don't like the word senior. Seniors are, they use the term too loosely to describe people who are members of Medicare or participants in Medicare, but I will continue to read the article because as it's written, it's instructive as a warning about the pitfalls of Medicare Advantage plans. And this is a brand new article. It was released 3 days ago. Hospitals and insurance giants are clashing over wildly popular Medicare Advantage plans as both sides try to protect their profits. Many seniors enrolled in these plans are caught in the crosshairs. More hospital and healthcare providers are terminating agreements with insurers that provide these private sector alternatives to Medicare. Now, there's nothing wrong, in my view, with the private sector or private enterprise, but this is one of the arguments that people use to denigrate Medicare Advantage plans. I don't think they need to use a term that is derivative like this. I believe that the Medicare Advantage plan is flawed enough that it stands on its own as a warning sign, but people do call them private sector as though that's some kind of an insult. So what happens with these plans is there are too many denials, delays, and refusals to pay that government-run Medicare would typically cover. The fracas is deepening this year as the federal government issues new guidance on how the plans are allowed to be run, posing a major new threat to a profit engine for some of the country's largest insurance companies. This guy is quoted as saying, "We call these knife fights in the industry." I don't know that anybody uses that term except this gentleman. I think we're seeing more and more, this analyst said, and this is something that these insurers are saying, okay, this could become a bigger problem for our bottom line. Seniors have a lot at stake. If more hospitals ditch these plans, seniors who rely on that coverage will be forced to pay higher costs and may even be kept from seeing the doctor of their choice. Many have little recourse if they face these challenges. It stinks, this guy said. You're putting consumers in the middle of these negotiations, and they really value being able to know if they're facing out-of-network costs if they do see a provider that's not within their network. So the emotional strain that this takes on the people caught in the middle is the worst. This year, 33 million Americans have Medicare Advantage plans, representing just over half of the Medicare-eligible individuals. They are offered by giant companies like United Healthcare and Humana and CVS Aetna. These Medicare Advantage plans have only grown in popularity since the program's inception, with enrollment outpacing that of traditional Medicare in the last 6 years. The two big allures of these plans are cost and perks. Medicare Advantage plans provide benefits traditional Medicare doesn't offer, such as dental and vision coverage and a grocery allowance in some cases. Many also offer a low or $0 monthly premium. That's cheaper than Medicare's $175 monthly premium and any plus supplement coverage. Now, the thing is, this article doesn't say that you still have to pay that $175 if you get a Medicare Advantage plan. That is one of the first things that they tell you. If you buy a Medicare Advantage plan, you still have to pay the plan the cost of Medicare Parts A and B. Actually, the cost of Medicare Part B, but that goes to the Advantage plan, not to the government. Medicare Advantage plans are very well compensated, and with that extra money, the plans are able to offer services that Medicare doesn't offer. The deck is heavily stacked in favor of Medicare Advantage enrollment. Of course, there's a trade-off. Depending on the plan, enrollees have to go to a network of providers who have contract agreements with the insurer. If an enrollee goes out of network, they either must pay the higher cost of care or they may not be allowed to see that provider unless they pay the entire cost. The consequences of that trade-off came to a head in 2022 as Medicare Advantage insurers began denying more coverage for necessary care, just as old people who had delayed elective procedures started flooding back into the hospitals that were already struggling with major labor shortages. The practice has infuriated healthcare providers. The practice of denying more coverage for necessary care is what they're talking about here. This practice does cost substantial amounts of time and money, but more important, it's not right for our patients who are often caught in the middle or receive coverage that is different than that offered by offered to patients enrolled in regular Medicare. By the way, I think it's time for us to take a little break. Randy always likes to play a couple of hands of cards in the middle of our podcast episode, so we're going to do that right now and let you listen to some commercials. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back in the middle of our article about Medicare Advantage plans causing chaos in the healthcare system. Some hospitals move forward with care without prior authorization from the plan because it's an emergency and the appeals process just takes too much time. There are patients out there that cannot wait. The delay of a cardiac procedure or a cancer procedure could be life-threatening. So they often go ahead and perform the procedures anyway, and when the hospital files a claim, it gets denied, saying, "We didn't approve it." That's what the insurance company says to the hospital once they file a claim for something that they did not follow the rules of prior authorization on. So many healthcare providers are losing money as a result. When they say healthcare providers, they're talking about the hospitals and doctors. Scripps Health lost $75 million last year from its Medicare Advantage insured patients. Scripps Clinic and Scripps Coastal, the medical group that have exclusive medical service contracts with Scripps Health, tried to renegotiate with Medicare Advantage insurers to reach acceptable terms, but ultimately that failed. The medical groups then withdrew from their Medicare Advantage HMO agreements with UnitedHealthcare, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield of California, HealthNet of California, Scan Health Plan, UnitedHealthcare of California, and Alignment Health. And they withdrew from all those plans last year. The last thing in the world I wanted to do was cancel a contract of 32,000 patients. I'm in the business of delivering healthcare, not canceling healthcare, the officer of the Scripps organization said. We just can't afford it financially. In the last 18 months, more than a dozen other healthcare hospital systems nationwide have dropped out of the Medicare Advantage plan networks, many of them citing denial of care issues. I think we're sadly in the vanguard of what is going to be some pretty confrontational contract negotiations between payers and hospitals in the next few years. I think this is going to get ugly. UnitedHealthcare told Yahoo Finance that each year we successfully renegotiate the vast majority of our contracts with providers. Our goal is to be a good steward of the resources available to cover our members' cost of care by ensuring that they are charged fair, sustainable prices for the services they need. Humana and Centene did not respond to requests for comment. Still, the tumult has gotten the attention of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That's a government agency that oversees Medicare. And they recently put out new rules on processing prior authorizations, patient risk coding, and other reporting and transparency requirements designed to address some of the medical providers' concerns. It also adds more pressure on the insurance companies by making it harder to deny claims, potentially forcing insurers to cut back on the perks that their plans offer. The industry is engulfed in a historically high level of controversies right now. It's a very tough environment for the plans. And I think we're going to see a sector that's going to really pull back on benefits. In the meantime, seniors who need health care are stuck in the middle. Seniors can opt for a different Medicare Advantage plan, or they can go to Original Medicare during the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period from January 1st to March 31st, and they have been. Plan swapping was up in January and February based on monthly data from the Centers for Medicare Services, CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Still, switching to traditional Medicare is often no panacea either. Because the people need to show evidence of good health in order to be able to get a Medicare supplement, which supplements Medicare and removes much of the out-of-pocket cost that somebody would encounter if they got sick. So they would find it harder to get a Medicare supplement policy if they're suffering from a pre-existing condition. So they're not always free to move back to Original Medicare under the ideal circumstances. They always get that guaranteed right when they first get Medicare coverage from the government. But after 6 months, that guarantee goes away and they have to show evidence of good health in most cases. When a senior first signs up for Medicare at age 65, Medicare supplement policies, which are provided by many of the same insurers that offer Medicare Advantage plans, they cannot be denied or charged a higher premium based on pre-existing conditions, but insurers deny or charge more for pre-existing conditions when somebody wants to switch to a traditional Medicare down the road. That's why seniors may choose another plan instead, another Medicare Advantage plan, when they have the opportunity to switch. And they're hoping this new plan might be better than the plan that they just left because they were not served well by it. That is a danger each and every year. People don't have much recourse if their doctor leaves the network. So there were two comments at the end of this article, and I copied the comments. One is from a Donna Confer, and she said, Medicare disadvantage plans are not being taken in a lot of hospitals, and doctors are refusing these plans. Should have taken Original Medicare with a supplement. I don't know if she's talking about herself or if she's going nee, 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 nee to people reading this. And then there's Joe Barroso, and he says, that's BS. Medicare Advantage are better. I like the English language facility that he uses here. Medicare Advantage are better than Medicare alone, which doesn't provide any coverage at all, like dental, vision, OTC, zero copays, and a whole bunch of other benefits. First of all, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Secondly, Medicare is just trying to make them look bad and failing miserably. So there's a guy that wants to go out on a limb and defend Medicare Advantage plans. There's a map here with a bunch of red dots on it, and I had looked up each one of these places because these are places that have refused to accept patients that are covered by some Medicare Advantage plans. These plans are kind of scattered all over the country, and they're from the largest companies. But there's a Samaritan Health Services in Corvallis, Oregon, St. Charles Health System in Bend, Oregon, and we've already heard from the Scripps Clinics in San Diego, Brookings Health System in Brookings, South Dakota, Cameron Regional Medical Center in Cameron, Missouri, Stillwater Medical Center in Stillwater, Oklahoma, Memorial Hermann in Houston, Vanderbilt Health in Nashville, Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, Louisville. Okay, Louisville, Kentucky. I didn't write down much detail about that. Genesis Healthcare in Zanesville, Ohio. Community Care Physicians in Albany, New York. WellSpan in York, Pennsylvania. Christiana Care in Newark, Delaware. Wake Med in Raleigh, North Carolina. ECU Health in Greenville, North Carolina, and Cape Fear Valley Health in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And finally, we have Southeast Georgia Health System in Brunswick, Georgia. Those are Medicare facilities, doctors, hospitals that are not taking at least some Medicare Advantage plans due to their adherence to and their rules regarding prior authorization. And this is a problem that I think is going to continue. It's going to grow as time goes by. So that's my warning to anybody who might be considering a Medicare Advantage plan when they get out of the box, when they turn age 65, instead of enrolling in Medicare Parts A and B, plus a Medicare supplement plan. Now, I've got a short little article that I thought was kind of fun. This is the five negatives of active adult retirement communities. Now, I got to say, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I don't have a, I don't have any skin in this game because I don't live in an adult community. And I will say that Randy does not either. So neither of us have any direct experience with these kinds of rules. But there are five things that this particular article says that we would not like if we were to move to an active adult community. One, and right at the top, HOAs, homeowner associations. Now there's a legal reason that homeowners associations are active in newer areas, and I don't know what it is. I wish I knew what real estate law created HOAs, but I know that Randy and I both have an HOA that governs daily life in our various neighborhoods, and I'm on the board of my HOA. I believe Mrs. Randy was on the board of hers at one time. I don't think she is anymore, but homeowners associations is listed as the number one complaint of people living in active adult developments. The number one complaint, homeowner associations are too restrictive, too noisy or nosy. Yeah, it says noisy, too petty or too political. In any subdivision that has an HOA, they can become like little dictatorships and they really tend to irk residents. And I got to tell you, that's what ours was. And I allowed it to get out of control, and we managed to rein it in after a few years of living with the dictators, the petty little Napoleons that seemed to like to run HOAs, and I learned a valuable lesson. Anybody who wants to be on the board of directors should be rejected for service immediately, because those are the people that are going to go out of control and start trying to boss you around and make you follow a bunch of wacky rules that nobody else in any reasonable town would ever have to follow. And if when you have a bunch of people and if you ask who wants to be on the board of directors, the first people that raise their hand should be thrown out of your meeting and pushed down the stairs if you if you can arrange that to happen. The issue lies not just with the HOA itself, but with frequent reporting of violations by neighbors, sometimes even leading to vigilante style inspections. And I think Randy told me about somebody peeking through the bushes in his HOA, hoping to find something that he could report as a violation. This can create an atmosphere of tension and unease, detracting from the sense of community that retirement communities are supposed to foster. Sheesh, is what the author of the article says. Number two is quality concerns, another issue raised by residents, particularly those living in communities originally built by Del Webb, which is a big Arizona firm. The issue is perceived decline in the quality of new homes built after Del Webb sold out to Pulte Homes. This has led to dissatisfaction among some residents who feel that standards they expected when they moved in are not being maintained. Age is sometimes an issue. Active adult communities are often marketed towards a broad age range, typically 55 and up. However, this can lead to a significant age disparity among residents. Some younger residents have expressed feeling out of place, finding the majority of their neighbors to be significantly older. This can impact the overall community dynamic and may not provide the social environment that younger retirees are seeking. Number four is gossip. For myself, according to this author, living in an active adult community for some time now, I would say that gossip turns me off. There are many social gatherings that can be fertile grounds for gossip. This can create an uncomfortable environment for those who prefer to keep a low profile or are not interested in becoming part of the community drama. Lucky for me, the author says, the gossip doesn't usually hit the outdoor sports I usually participate in. Number five, location limitations. Many of the larger active adult communities are located in small towns on the outskirts of larger metropolitan areas. While this provides a quieter, more relaxed living environment, it also means that residents may have to travel further to access certain amenities. They may not have all the nice restaurants you're used to or the upscale specialty grocery stores like Whole Foods, Fresh Market, or Trader Joe's. But then again, those places aren't usually too far away. Yeah, I think they're right down the road from us. But once again, I don't live in a restricted senior neighborhood. So I might as well finish this up. Does the bad outweigh the good? That all depends on you. There are a lot of misconceptions about active adult retirement communities. Some say the residential communities are too old. HOA horror stories turn some people off too, but as an active adult community resident myself, I genuinely feel that the bad does not outweigh the good. Your retirement experience in one of these communities is usually what you choose to make it. It's important for potential residents to thoroughly research and visit several communities before making a decision, ensuring they find a place that meets their lifestyle needs and expectations. Living in an active adult community gives you many wonderful opportunities to meet new friends and socialize. The author says, I know that I value the friendships I've made with some amazing people who are 10 and even 20 years older than me. So that's one person's opinion as to active adult communities. And frankly, when they put HOAs at the top, I completely understand that. Randy, you stayed awake pretty much for the whole episode.
I did. This was a great episode, Doug.
I'm glad you like it.
You know, because this is one Medicare Advantage discussions. That's one of my favorite discussions.
Well, we're going to have more to discuss apparently coming down the pike. Next time, I think we're going to have some fun with an article that was published in the Rolling Stone last month. Rolling Stone, you know, that middle of the road, very fair publication, fair and balanced. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But you know something? We need to close up shop.
Yeah, let's do that.
The 75 cents is gone because the board will not give us a raise, okay?
Yeah, I'm glad I passed that responsibility off to the board.
It's holding tight. 75 cents, people, that's all you get. Well, anyway, before I do land the plane let's go in for 27 left today. There's a couple, three things I always like to take care of. Number one is grab your pen. Doug gets really grumpy if you don't send him some email every morning. And you can do that at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. If you happen to be cruising around the internet and find a place to drop a couple reviews, we would certainly appreciate it. The numbers mean a lot to us on any of the content that we produce. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us today. We had you right where we like you, listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And ultimately, if you weren't tracking it, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's living in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And today, it's 65 degrees, so I think I can take him up a little higher. Let's take him up to 14,500 feet.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. That's the same height as Pikes Peak is, which I drove down in my 65 Corvette with no brakes. But that's a story for another time.
That's a story for another. That's quite a story. But yeah, it's definitely a story for another day.
See you soon. Thank you, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you in our next episode. Bye-bye.